Florida sheriff's deputies pulled over a man a few years ago, and when they pulled him over, 80 to 85 years old, and you'll understand why I say 80 to 85 in just a minute. When they pulled him over, they discovered that he had two sets of ID. His car was registered and his driver's license were in the name of William Robinson. But they continued to look and found out he had some other ID on him that said that he was William Frank Meshack. And so they began to do a little bit of investigating and trying to figure out why he had contradicting ID on him and why he had two different names, and trying to get to the bottom of it, and couldn't figure it out. They eventually talked to the man's girlfriend. Now, you didn't remember how old I said he was. And she'd been his girlfriend for 37 years. And so when she first met him, he went by the name of William Robinson, and that was how she had known him until he turned 65. And when he turned 65 and went to sign up for his Social Security and some VA benefits, was the first time she'd heard the name of William Meshack. And she was of the idea that his real name probably was Meshack, but somewhere along the way he had picked up the name William Robinson and been going by that name for all these years. And so, when you think about it, and if you do a little digging, you'll find out that's a way more common occurrence than you may realize, of people picking up others' identity and going by other people's names and picking up other aspects of people's lives. Just a few weeks ago, there was an article in the paper of a man who, after he had passed away, actually in his will, he fessed up and told him several things. For example, they all thought he had a PhD, and they discovered that he admitted in his will that it had been a mistake at the college, and they'd sent him a PhD by mistake, and he'd only actually attended one or two classes, but he'd lived his life with that. And several other things this fella confessed to. There's the story of a fella in the Midwest to picked up the name and assumed the identity of a three-year-old child. The child was actually murdered, and this man had nothing to do with it other than finding out about it and picking up and taking that child's name and living under that identity. And, there are all kinds of those stories. We occasionally get the really wild one where you hear or you read in the paper of some guy who's got three or four wives, and he's got, three or four different houses and families with each one, and I've often wondered how he keeps all that straight and how he keeps that all sorted out, how he keeps all that figured out. Martin told me it was hard enough to lie to one wife, let alone four. So Zelda said he wasn't very good at it either. But how do they keep all these identities straight, and how do they figure out, where they're supposed to be and which kids they're supposed to be talking to, and those kind of things. And in reality, all of us, to some extent, we do something like that. We kind of have various identities that we have to carry out as part of our daily life. There's the identity you might have to have at work, as boss, as manager, as owner, whatever, maybe employee. Sometimes even in the home, your father, your mother, your husband, your wife, and with each of those identities, there are certain characteristics that come with it. Your identity at work, who you are at work, if you try some of that at home, you may get a frying pan to the side of the head. If you're the manager, the boss at work, and you come home and you try that at home, you may end up sleeping in the yard. And so every identity we have has with it a set of characteristics that we have to manage and live within. But ultimately, we've been talking over the last few weeks about our identity in Christ and who that is. And we've been talking about that, and hopefully I have explained that well, that that our identity in Christ is who God says we are, who God sees us as. And when we look through the Bible is just filled with examples, filled with Scripture that tell us who we are in Christ. The Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors. It tells us that we are ambassadors. It tells us that we are forgiven, that we are cleansed, that we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. It tells us that we are forgiven. It tells us we are heirs. And so we have that description from the Word of God that tells you who you are as a believer, that tells you who you are as a Christian. That's who you are. Now, someone else, the world may say you are, you know, something else. The world may say you're no count. The world may say you're lazy, or all those things. But ultimately, what matters is who God says we are. Now, as we begin to understand that, and we begin to accept that, that God says, if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, He says you are forgiven. He says you are worthy. He says you have been bought with a price. He says you have been cleansed. You have been forgiven. That's who God says you are. And as you begin to accept that and understand that, then I believe the next step is, then what difference does it make? That as we begin to understand who we are in Christ, what the Bible says about us, what God says about us, then that should have an impact on our life. Just as if you are, if you have the identity, if part of your identity as a human being is to be the pilot of an airplane, then there are certain characteristics you have to take on when you're carrying out that role. You have to be, alert. There are certain things that are part of that. That being a pilot impacts your life in a certain way. And being a child of God should have an impact on us, understanding our identity. And this morning, I want to look back at what Paul writes here in Ephesians. And actually, the letter to the Ephesians is a lot about our identity in Christ. What exactly does it mean? As we begin to understand, we begin to absorb, we begin to allow those truths to infiltrate our life and our way of thinking. That listen, you are a child of God. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are cleansed, you are forgiven, you are an ambassador. You are more than a conqueror. You've been bought with a great price. All those things that the Bible says about you. So based on that, how should you live? How should my life look? What does the Bible say should come out of me understanding my identity? Paul gives us here three things. We're going to look at a lot of Scripture this morning, a lot of verses here in these 16 verses, and we don't have time to look at them really in detail, but just to kind of get the idea of what Paul says, as you understand who you are as a believer in Christ, what does that mean? What does that look like? How should that affect me? And sometimes I think we misunderstand. We think, well, everybody understands that. Everybody knows what it means to be a Christian. Unfortunately, in this world, they don't. Unfortunately, sometimes we see what the television tells us a Christian is supposed to be. We may even hear what the preacher or the teachers or someone else. What does the Word of God say that our identity, what should the impact be on our life? As you begin to understand, I am a unique creation of God. I am His child. I am loved. I am forgiven. I am cleansed. I am His ambassador. I am more than a conqueror. I have been bought with a price. What does that mean? What does that change about my life? How should I act? How should I dress? So what is what the ultimate question is. And there's three things I think that Paul, just generally speaking here, to sum them up, says to us about our identity in Christ. He begins in this passage by telling us, he says, this I say therefore, testify in the Lord, and he goes on, he says here, that you henceforth, you walk not like the Gentiles walk. First thing Paul says is that our identity in Christ is, it gives us individuality. And by that I mean, he's saying that we should be different. We should stand out. You look around this room this morning, and everyone here, all kinds of differences, different hairstyle, different dress. But what Paul is saying is, spiritually speaking, there should be something different in our life that others can see. He says you shouldn't walk like the Gentiles walk. He says there should be something different. He says you don't walk in the vanity of mind. He says you shouldn't walk. He says you have understanding, and he says their understanding is darkened. So they don't understand. They just don't get it. He says they are alienated or separated from God by ignorance, he says. And he says that's their life. He says these people, he says you should walk differently than those that are separated from God, those that are living in darkness, those that are ignorant of the ways of God. He says our life should be different. Our life should be different. I think one of the hallmarks as we look through the Word of God, one of the things that I believe goes unpreached, untaught to all in the church today is that over and over in the New Testament, the Word of God says that believers are called out to be new creatures. They're called out to be different. They're called out to be unique. Paul says we shouldn't walk like they walk. Now, and I think about that word walk. You know, one of the most distinguishing things about somebody, is their walk. You can, you notice that about walk, and you see somebody who possibly has a limp or something, and you notice that. You may not see anything else, but you can see that from a distance even. And, it gets on Caleb and Maria's nerves. I'm bad. You know, we'll go out in public sometime, and we'll be walking around, and I'll walk, I do my leg like that. Will you quit that? And I just keep doing that. My legs bother me. Will you quit that? It gives me great joy and pleasure to embarrass them, but pay them back for all the years. It just drives them crazy. And they try to walk off and get away from them, and I just walk over a little quicker, and just get a little closer. But you notice that if you see something like that in someone's walk, if you see a limp, it's noticeable. You know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying our relationship, our identity in Christ should be noticeable. You should see it in our walk. He says that it should be drastically different from those that have their understanding darkened, those that are separated or alienated from God because of their ignorance about God. They are blind. They are lascivious. They are filthy, unclean. And Paul says that but when we understand that we are children of God, when we begin to accept our identity in Christ, that I am an ambassador, that I am forgiven, that I am cleansed, that I am clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When I begin to accept that I am forgiving, that I am a new creature, and all the old things have passed away, Paul says there ought to be a difference in our walk. We ought to stand out in society. We ought to stand out. There ought to be something about us that is so unique. Again, the world may not understand it. When they come in and do business with you, when they talk to you, when they when you go through their line at the store, when they you go around them, when they do business with you in whatever way, when they see you out at the ball game, they ought to be able to look at you and say, you know what? I don't know what it is, but there's something unique about them. There's something different about them. Why? Because of my identity in Christ. I have been bought with a price. I've been set aside. I am being sanctified. He says, we are different. We are to become holy. We are righteous. He says, and so therefore we should walk differently. Our life should be one that stands out. And he says it should be different from those around us who don't know any better. Am I saying flawless? Is Paul saying we should be flawless? No. But what he is saying is that we should be attempting to be different because we know better. He says we're not in blindness. We're not in ignorance. We're not in darkness. Walk differently, he says to us. He's telling us that our life should be different. It should be a life of individuality, that there should be changes taking place in our life. And so he says that identity in Christ, it should impact us and begin having an effect on us as we begin to digest and think about this. You know what? I've been forgiven. I've been cleansed. I've been saved. He says, you know what? That ought to work on you. That ought to work on who you are. That ought to cause you to have a desire to walk differently than the Gentiles. And so he says the first way that our identity in Christ should impact us is that we are individuals, that we walk different than the world, that we carry out God's calling on our life. Second thing that Paul says in this verse, he goes on. And remember what those verses just said, because he goes on, and this first word of conjunction, he says, but you have not so learned Christ. It's not only a life of individuality, but it is a life of instruction. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't mean to ruffle your feathers, but I'm going to tell you. If you ever try to read Paul's letters, Paul has a tendency to be just a tad long-winded, okay? You know, sometimes Paul uses 10 words when he could have used 2. And the King James English doesn't help any. Well, this particular sentence for me is one of those. When he says, but ye have not so learned Christ. I read that, and I've got to be honest with you. Now, some of you great scholars sitting here may go, oh, no problem. I read that line in the King James English, and I go, huh? Yeah, but you have so not learned. What? Yeah, well, let me see if I can get it into Jimmy English for you. Because I just be honest with you, I think probably most of you can understand Jimmy English better than King James English, okay? Yeah. And Paul says, but you have not so learned Christ. Well, remember what he just said. He said, don't walk as the Gentiles walk, in ignorance and darkness, separated from God. And a simple way to say that is he says, because that's not what you learned from Jesus. Don't walk in darkness. Don't walk in ignorance. Don't walk like the Gentiles walk, because that's not what you see in Christ. Because that's not what you learn from Him. He says, if you heard Him, you've been taught by Him, the truth is in Christ. He says, you learn from Him to put off the old things, because it's corrupt. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The second impact that our identity, as we begin to understand, I am bought, I am a child of God, I am an heir, I have the righteousness of God, I am forgiven, I am cleansed, I am an ambassador of God, I am more than a conqueror, I am a new creation. Paul says then, you learned better from Jesus. So it is not only a life of individuality, but it is a life of instruction. Now, I'm just curious here this morning. Most of you have been saved for some time, the majority of you here this morning. How many of you know more about Christ and what the Bible says and how God wants you to live today than you did 10 years ago? Okay, that's good. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this time. Because I worded that question a particular way. How many of you know more than you did 10 years ago? Don't raise your hand on this one. Because I don't want to see the ones that didn't raise your hand. I don't want to put anybody on the spot here. Now, the question is not really how many of you know more about Christ and how He wants you to live 10 years ago. The real question is how many of us are living more like Christ and more by what we know than we did 10 years ago. See, that's what Paul is talking about. And I didn't see any of you real upset that I didn't ask you to hold up your hands. You know, here's what Paul is saying to us. As the more we know about Christ, and the more we know about who Christ is, the more we know about who we are in Christ, he says then the more we should want to live like Christ. The more we should want to be like Him. The more we should want to serve Him, because we are to be renewed. We are to put on the new man. We are to be new each day. We are to grow closer to Him. We are to be learning more about Him. We are to be drawing closer to Him. You know, one of the most interesting things I notice is how people in groups tend to kind of begin to act alike. You see that in husbands and wives even. As they're together a while, they kind of begin to think the same way, like the same things, dislike the same things. You know, it's amazing, kind of how that works. You know, you take and, you put somebody in a place and they have a different accent. They'll, over time, start to pick up that accent. All you got to do is listen to Shirley back there. We've about southernized her. We're working on her. It begins to rub off as we're around others. Look around you. You know, pretty much everybody here, there's, pretty much all within reason, dressed in roughly the same style, roughly the same hairstyles. Nothing really out there, except Archie. You know, now nothing, and he can't help it. He didn't pay for that. That's just nature. Nothing really out there. Nothing really wild. We just kind of, we kind of blend in. How many times have you been going somewhere to a party, to a group function, and you ask somebody, well, how's everybody else going to be dressed? I don't show up in shorts and everybody else in a tuxedo, or vice versa. I'd rather show up in shorts and them be in a tuxedo than me in a tuxedo and them in shorts. I got to be honest with you. We just kind of like to fit in the crowd we're around. Well, Paul says this. Paul says if you are a child of God and your identity is in Christ and you're hanging around Him, you ought to start acting like Him. You ought to start being more like Him. He says in this verse, he says, you've been taught different. It's aggravating sometimes. You have your kids and they'll go and do something. And one of the first things runs through your mind is you look at them and say, I taught you better than that. Anybody here ever tell your kids that? Jenny, you ever done that? I told you better than that, Hurston. I told you better than that. Well, we do that. James, did you ever tell him that, Archie? A time or two? I taught you better than that. I told you better. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying to us, God has told us better. He has told us more. He's gave us more instruction. He's given us 66 books of direction. And he says, this is how I want you to live. You have received the doctrine and the instruction of Christ. Simple way to word what that first phrase says is that, but you're not like this. You have learned Christ. You know what? Our identity in Christ says I am forgiven. Says I am to be holy. Well, you know what? He's saying to Paul, saying, we should be living up to that. That should be our objective. That should be our goal. It should impact our life to know who we are as we understand our identity in Christ, who we are, the things that He's done for us. And so we have the individuality to walk not like the Gentiles. Instruction, a life of instruction. He says the words that He's used there is ongoing, that we're constantly drawing closer to Him. So it's not only a life of individuality and a life of instruction, but it's a life ultimately of imitation. Now, I couldn't get everything on the screen that these verses, too many words there, and so I just kind of had to edit it. You can look in the word in your copy and of the Bible and see what's there. But look what he says. He says, put away lying. Let him that steal no more. No corrupt communication. Do that's good and edifying. Get rid of bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Who does that sound like? No evil speaking, no malice, no bitterness, kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. Who does that sound like? Sounds like Christ. Sounds like Jesus. You look up that definition and have Jesus' picture beside of it. That's who He is. No lying, no stealing, no corrupt communication, no bitterness. A bitterness to the point of hanging on the cross and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No bitterness, no wrath, no anger, no malice, forgiving. And then he tells you that. He says, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. He says, you know what? You act like Christ because God forgave you. You don't lie because Christ didn't lie. You don't steal because Christ didn't steal. You don't have anger, bitterness, wrath because Christ didn't. He says you really want to know what it means to have the identity of Christ. Well, that's pretty well a self-explanatory statement here. If I have my identity is in Christ, then who am I to be like? Christ. Who am I to act like? If I'm not to walk like the Gentiles, who am I to walk like? Christ. If I'm not to talk like the Gentiles, those that are ignorant, those that are in darkness, those that are blind, who am I to talk like? Christ. And so he says here that as we understand who we are as believers, he says then our life should be impacted. It should be changed. You know, one of the greatest pleasures in the ministry, one of the greatest things to see happen is to watch someone, and there's no really nice way, I guess, or really, you know, I don't want to offend anybody, but to get my point across, you know, sometimes you see people who get saved who have been in the church for a while. I mean, they grew up in church, and they're fairly decent people to start with. I mean, they don't really bother anything. They're pretty good people. And so when they get saved, a lot of times you really don't see a really, really huge change in their life. On the other hand, you occasionally see somebody who didn't grow up in church. And sometimes we forget that in church, that everybody didn't grow up in church. Everybody don't know how church people act and how church people are and everything. And they grew up, and you know, they grew up kind of wild. Maybe they grew up, you know, nowhere near church, never had a copy of the Bible. You know, they grew up with, you know, absent parents or whatever. They, you know, whatever, motorcycle gang members, whatever, you know, those kind of things. And all of a sudden, they stumble across the Word of God, and they come face to face with the Holy Spirit, and they are gloriously saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. And you start seeing a change, and it's noticeable. You know, sometimes it's a struggle for them. They still sometimes talk like they used to talk because they don't know how Christians are supposed to talk. They sometimes dress like they used to dress because that's the only clothes they own. They don't know no better. They sometimes do some of those same old things they've always done. But you see, as God begins to work in their life, you see God begin to change them and transform them and make a new creature out of them. Some of you were saved in church, you were raised in church, and it really wasn't anything, but you know, it really wasn't a big change because you never were a wild party-going, you know, party animal kind of person to begin with. And so it really didn't show up. But once in a while, you see one of these fellas or ladies that, man, you talk about running wild. They gave new meaning to wild. And then they come to know Christ. And it's like watching the caterpillar turn into the butterfly. As they begin to understand who Christ is in them. And their life begins to change. And they begin to get involved in church. I remember there was a fellow around here years ago who had been big in the motorcycle gangs. And I mean, he had all the leather and the tattoos and the jewelry and everything. And I remember him getting saved. And you know, he'd show up at various churches around town every now and then. People would look at him like, is he here to rob us? You know, what's the deal? But it was amazing to watch the transformation in that fellow over time as God began to work on him. Here's my question for you this morning. Has your relationship with Christ impacted your life? Are you becoming more like Him? It may not be as noticeable as that guy that used to be in the motorcycle gang or the drug addict, whatever. But is your relationship with Christ changing you? There's a church in Baltimore that was documented in one of Tom Rainer's books. And they have a policy unlike anything most of us have ever even heard of. You don't join that church for life. You join that church for the year. And at the end of the year, you have to sign a card of the church's beliefs and standards and all, saying you're going to live by that, and you have been living by it. And if the leadership of the church has any doubt whether or not that's true or not, they do an investigation. They'll go ask your kids. They'll go ask your co-workers and decide whether or not they're going to let you be a member of that church anymore. Darlene, you know about that church? That's up here near your neighborhood. You know, and every year they go through this process. And if you hear, they go out and verify your testimony before they let you be a member again. The invitation's really simple this morning. You hear today and you say you're a child of God. How many of you want to be part of that church? How many of you want to be part of that church where they go out every year and verify your testimony? How many of you would sign up for that deal? That it's all right. You go ahead and you investigate and you see if I'm trying my best to imitate Jesus. This morning, is your relationship with Christ having an impact on your life? You need to come to this altar and say, Lord, I want others to see in me that my walk is different. I want them to see that my identity is in Jesus Christ. That I am a child of God, saved and delivered. My life has been changed. You're here today and you know Him as your Savior. You need to come. More important today, every person in this room has an identity in Christ. Because I defined identity in Christ as you are who God says you are. That's your identity. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you still are who God says you are. Unfortunately, God says you are dead in your sins, lost in your trespasses. That you are separated. You saw that verse a while ago that said up there, those that are separated from Him? If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, that's you. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but I've got to tell you the truth. Everyone in here has an identity in Christ. You are who God says you are. You say, oh, I'm a good guy, I'm a good little person, I go to church, I give money, I do this, I do that. That's great. That's who you say you are. But without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God says you're lost, you're dead in your sins. That's who God says you are. And there's only one way to change that, and that's through Jesus Christ. You're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. You've never accepted Him. You need an identity in Christ that says something other than lost and separated. You need an identity that says, I am a child of God. I have been forgiven. I have been cleansed. I am an heir to an eternal life with Jesus Christ. And you can have that this morning by accepting Him as your Savior. As we begin to sing, as our musicians come, you step out and you come to this altar and we'll show you from the Word of God how you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, how you can have a new identity in Him. Christians, you're here today and you say, I want who I am in Christ to affect my life. I want it to impact me so that others will see who I am. You need to come and kneel and say, Lord, make a change in me. Make a difference in me.